So we've come to the fourth Sunday of Lent, also known as Laetare Sunday. Laetare meaning being the Latin word rejoice. And we rejoice, especially as we can see the rose-colored vestments or pink-colored vestments that the priests and the deacon are wearing. This Sunday pairs with Gaudete Sunday, during the season of Advent, in which we also rejoice. Why do we rejoice today? There are two reasons of rejoicing. First of all, we are over halfway through Lent. Easter is approaching very quickly, and perhaps we are rejoicing that soon our time of penance, our time of growing closer to the Lord will be fulfilled very soon. The second reason to rejoice today comes from our readings. We rejoice because God, our Father, is unabashedly and radically merciful. And that is a cause to rejoice. We are given this very famous parable, the parable of the prodigal son, in today's gospel. And it's helpful to remember where this gospel occurs. This parable only occurs in Luke's gospel. And in Luke's gospel, it occurs in a chapter. It's the third of three parables that Jesus gives. When the scribes and Pharisees become indignant towards him and point out that he is eating with tax collectors and sinners, he gives to them three parables. The first parable, the good shepherd. The shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes in search for the one lost sheep, showing the very radical way that God loves each and every one of us. The second parable that Jesus gives is the parable of the woman who lost her silver coin and searches high and low all over her house until she finds that coin. And then she rejoices and tells her friends, "I have found this lost coin." And then finally, in a third parable, Jesus gives this rather lengthy story, this lengthy parable of the prodigal son. We are perhaps very familiar with it, but nevertheless, there is so much in this story that we can glean from. We are given this very, very stark image of these two brothers that are very, very flawed, but in very different ways. We see the younger son at the outset who is concerned about his own possessions. "Father, give to me the share of the estate that should come to me." In a manner of speaking, this younger son is telling to his father, "Father, I wish that you were dead, and I want to have all the inheritance that I would receive at your death." And the father says, "Okay, I give it to you. Even though you wish that I were dead, I nevertheless fulfill your desire. I give to you what you want." And the younger son takes that inheritance and goes off and squanders it in a life of dissipation. And then we are told when he comes to his senses, he has that desire to go back to his father's house, but he realizes his unworthiness, or his apparent unworthiness. And he makes up his mind to go back to his home. And even from a far distance, we are told that his father longed to see him, And Jesus and St. Luke are very specific in showing that when, even when the younger son is far off, the father runs to his son. In ancient times, only servants or slaves would run. Landowners would mainly walk. If they needed something done quickly, they would send others to run ahead of them. But here, the father runs to his son, showing his great and profound love that he has for his son, but also his willingness to be humble in the eyes of his son. And he embraces his son and doesn't accuse him, but instead lavishly gives to him his dignity once again. Then we are also given a glimpse at the other son, the elder, the son who was obedient to the father, but thought that he had to earn his father's love through a life of obedience, through a life of completing all the tasks that his father gave to him. He believed that he had to be perfect. He had to strive for perfectionism in a very radical way. But the older son, in his own heart, became hardened towards his father and even towards his brother. So that when his younger brother comes back after a life of dissipation, this older son is indignant toward him. We can even hear it in his voice. He says, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He can't even call this man his brother. He says, "When your son returns." But nevertheless, it doesn't stop the father from loving this older son. We are told that the father came out and pleaded with his son. He begged him. He lowered himself, saying, "Son, come and be with us." And yet that older son had that hardness of heart. In very real ways, many of us, perhaps all of us, can identify ourselves with one of these two brothers. Whether we are concerned with the possessions in the world around us, and we think that our sins are often too great to be pardoned, the father shows to that younger son, the prodigal son, the depths of his mercy for him. That no matter what that younger son did, the father is ready to pardon him of all his sins. Similarly, with the older son, the one who had a hardness of heart, who was indignant and couldn't forgive his brother, it didn't stop the father from loving him and pleading with him, "Son, everything that I have is yours." Perhaps we can identify with either of these two sons, but the Father still loves us and gives us a chance at his mercy through this sacred season. We are given, of course, the great sacrament of reconciliation, and here at St. Philip's, many opportunities to take advantage of God's mercy. The Father is waiting for us, ready to pardon our sins and give us new life with him. Because the Father is radically and madly in love with you.